When the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Aswamedha sacrifices under the patronages of Brahmins belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, the Supreme Lord, who is full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Akhila Sara Samvrita. In other words, he is the proprietor of everything essential in this material world. Thus, although the Lord was going to Bali Maharaj to beg something, he is always complete and has nothing to beg from anyone. Indeed, he is so powerful that in his full opulence he pressed down the surface of the earth at every step. Om Agyantimirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Patakamalam Sri Kurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Patan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. When the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Aswamedha sacrifices under the patronage of Brahmins belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, the Supreme Lord, who was full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step. Hare Krishna. I am very grateful to be with all of you. Maharajji, thank you for being with us. Hare Krishna. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 18. Entitled Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf Incarnation, Text 20. In the previous verses, It is being told by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. How the Lord appears oftentimes in the great crisis within devotees' lives. This is a general principle. Most incarnations do not appear when it's a nice sunny day and the demigods are having a nice festival and everybody is comfortable at home. It's usually serious disasters that are happening that cause the devotees to helplessly call out for the Lord, understanding that He is the only shelter. Krishna, the demigods, were so desperate. Mother Earth, Bhumi, took the form of a cow. That's a serious matter for Mother Earth to take the form of a cow. And along with the demigods to go to the ocean of milk and offer Purusha Shukta prayers because they felt helpless. They wanted to protect humanity and they were powerless to do so against such tyrants as Kamsa, Jarasandha, and their associates. And even their own abodes were being greatly threatened by these asuras. So it was an emergency. And similarly with Ramchandra, Ravana was having the same effect when they cried out for the Lord to save them. Varahadev, it wasn't just a nice sunny day. The earth planet was plunged deep down into the ocean. And Varahadev had to come to rescue it. And Narasimhadev, he came in response to Hiranyakashipu, as Varaha did to Hiranyaksha, and the great torments that they were creating to human society and to the demigods as well. So this is a common principle. And in this particular verse, Aditi, a mother, a great devotee, just like the earth who is a mother, appeared in the motherly form of a cow to pray to the Lord to protect her children. Aditi is mother of the devas, or the demigods. And she, a mother's love by nature, feels the happiness and the sorrows of the children in a deeper way even than the children. That's the nature of compassion. And a mother, a good mother, has that natural compassion for her children. I think some of us, we all have mothers. Sometimes when we're sick, it's no big thing to us, but the mother is more worried about us than we are. We say, no, no, it's all right. Mother's very disturbed. My mother always, are you eating properly? I never could care less if I ate properly. Yes, of course I am. Well, what did you eat? I was never so specific about it. In fact, when I was young, like all young people, we usually like to eat the stuff that's not so good for us. Yes, children. It's part of being children. We don't really care. Health, what's this health stuff? The mother is very concerned. So a mother's love is that she's more concerned and she feels more for the children than the children even feel for themselves. So the demigods, they were suffering. Bali Maharaj was so powerful because he gained much of his power. He was great-grandson of Prahlad, or grandson of Prahlad, great-grandson of Hiranyakashipu, so he wasn't an ordinary person. And he understood the Vedic concepts. He pleased the Brahmins, and especially the great Brahmins of the Bhrigu dynasty, who are extremely powerful with their blessings. He knew where to invest. Just like a business person knows that if you put your money in the right investment, you will get good returns. So as a great king, he understood that if he put his time and energy into investing and pleasing the great Brahmins, he would get great returns. And he did. He conquered the universe. At least all the way up to Swargaloka. So the demigods were helpless. They were practically homeless. It's the nature of this world. However big and powerful, reversals can come beyond our control. So they were suffering. They were humiliated. For those who have been honored, dishonor is worse than death. The demigods were defeated. Aditi, being the mother, how much she was feeling the pains of her children. And she wanted to do something about it. But as a mother, she couldn't go and fight against the armies of Bali Maharaj. She approached her guru, who was also her husband, Kashyapa, and expressed her great anguish. She wanted to approach the Supreme Lord, who is the only shelter for devotees who are helpless. And Kashyapa Muni, being a great spiritual master, as well as husband in that sense, he taught her the way by which she can get the mercy of the Lord. This is the system. When we approach a great soul, great soul teaches us the process of purifying our own hearts and attracting Krishna's mercy. He instructed her in how to perform the Payavrata. Exclusive. They have designed this so the speaker has no powers. Crying out for the help of the technician. So that's kind of what we're talking about. When we're powerless, we have to call out for higher powers. So through this Payavrata, she purified herself, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, incarnated to be her own child. When he was born in this form of a very beautiful little dwarf, the devas, they not only celebrated, but they celebrated with such deep gratitude because he came for them. They offered wonderful gifts. There are many pages of Srimad Bhagavatam describing which gifts which of the devatas offered to Vamanadeva, which is very significant, because gratitude is something that is meant to be expressed. That's what puja is. Some people consider that puja is simply a ritual. People sometimes become very alarmed, turned away, or disturbed when they see such ritualistic ceremonies being performed on the altar. Why all this ritual? Why not do something practical? But the ritual is a way of expressing our gratitude, expressing our love. And through expressing our gratitude and love, we attract the Lord's mercy. And that is how we become purified. We offer Krishna so many times a day in our temples incense. But Krishna tells in Gita that I am the fragrance of the earth. So he doesn't need our incense. He's created the entire earth. And all the fragrances are coming from the earth. So he takes the entire earth, which is his property, which is his energy, Bhumi. His own consort has appeared as the earth, who's forever serving his lotus feet. So does he need our little stick of incense and the smell of it? But patram pushpam palam toyam. He's pleased that we're showing our gratitude, our love, and our devotion through making this offering. We offer Krishna a little lamp, little ghee lamp with a flame. Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So when we chant the Gayatri Mantra, we're offering our love and our prayers to Krishna, to Vishnu, who is the Paramatma that is giving the energy and the power of the sun to illuminate the entire universe with heat, with light, with life. So Krishna is the light of the sun, and we're offering him a little lamp with a flame. Krishna doesn't need it. But the nature of ras, or loving exchange, is Krishna does assume a position to need it. It appears to be a contradiction. Because by his own sweet will, he needs the love of his devotee. Although he is Atmarama, completely self-sufficient. Krishna says in Gita, I am of purifiers, I am the wind. He is the source of all the wind, all the air, for all of existence. And yet we're offering a chamara to give him a little breeze. This is Krishna. He contradicts himself in so many ways just for the purpose of loving exchanges with his devotees. And that ritual is an offering of gratitude. It's something very deep and significant when it has the proper philosophical background and the proper bhav, or spiritual emotion. Then rituals become, in its elevated state, an expression of the highest samadhi. Samadhi siddhir ishvara pranidhana. The perfection of samadhi is to surrender, to take shelter of the supreme controller, Ishvara, Krishna. So when we offer a little incense in a mood of this surrender, gratitude, love, It's the highest form of yoga. So here the demigods, they're offering Vamanadeva so many little gifts. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune, but he's appearing as a little boy. And in this way, they're pleasing him. And he knew exactly why he came. Ultimately, he came to attract our hearts today, many, many years later, by seeing these wonderful pastimes, hearing about them. From a spiritual perspective, the sound vibration is the lila itself. It is being reenacted whenever we hear about it with a humble and attentive heart, with faith. So at this moment, here in the Lechmore Heath Division of London, Vamanadeva is walking to the Ashwamedha Yagya. Hare Krishna. And here are this particular verse we're reading today is so beautifully contradictory. One time a great professor, he asked Srila Prabhupada, why are there so many contradictions in the writings of the acharyas? Because it appears like there is. They say sometimes things are explained both historically and philosophically in various ways that appear contradictory. Prabhupada's answer was very succinct. He said, there are no contradictions among the acharyas. Hare Krishna. Now that may just seem as a very simple, simplistic answer without addressing the actual problem, apparent problem. But in truth, it perfectly goes right to the root essence of the resolution to the problem. Because the Lord, the Supreme Absolute Truth, he's inconceivable. And the great acharyas explain different dimensions of that unlimited, infinite, inconceivable absolute truth. So here Vamanadeva, it is described here that he's a beggar. He's coming to Bali Maharaj as a very poor person. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the Lord is Akhila Sara Samvrita, which means he's the proprietor of everything essential in this material world. So he's being addressed as the proprietor of everything that exists, going to Bali Maharaj to beg for a little land. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He's the owner of every planet in every universe. He's the proprietor of every universe in the cosmic manifestation. And yet he's coming to beg for a little bit of land. And it also describes here that he's a little dwarf. A dwarf is a very small person. And he's a child dwarf, which means he's really small. And yet, with every step, he's pushing the earth down. So by material standards, he's extremely lightweight. But yet the earth is being pushed down with every step. Now, all of us, with all of our incredible technology and science, even our nuclear bombs, we can't push the Earth down, can we? We could do a lot of damage on the surface of the Earth, but to actually push the Earth down? The little Vamanadeva, with every step, the Earth is being pushed down. Krishna is the lightest of the light, and simultaneously the heaviest of the heavy. He smiles, and we find in this little story, he appears as a little dwarf, which means very, very small in size. And he asks Bali Maharaj for 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj, why only 3 steps? Why don't you take more? After all, I'm the king of the universe. I could give you so much. Vamanadeva says, I'm satisfied within myself. When one is satisfied within oneself, whether one has a lot or a little, one is happy. But if one is not satisfied within oneself, whether one has a lot or a little, can never be satisfied. It is Hiranyakashipu, the great-grandfather of Bali Maharaj. He, in fact, had conquered from Swargaloka down. That means a major portion of the entire universe. Even the demigods. When he would raise one of his eyebrows in anger, they would tremble in fear and submit to whatever he wanted. That was his power and influence. Yet the Bhagavatam tells he was never satisfied. There was always anxieties because he could not control his mind and senses. There was no inner satisfaction. He was trying to find satisfaction through external gratification and acquisition. And this story tells us that to whatever extent we succeed in gaining Hiranya and Kashyapu. Hiranya means material acquisition, gold, luxury. Kashyapu means soft bed, which means the ultimate experience of material sensual pleasure. He had it all. Beyond. He had more than the demigods could possibly get. Each demigod only had their department and their little abode that they ruled over. But Hiranyakashipu ruled over all of it. Little Prahlad, he was forsaken, he was betrayed. Hiranyakashipu had so many massive armies for security, but he was in anxiety. And Prahlad was the only little devotee, 5 years old, being persecuted by all those armies. And he was in no anxiety because he was satisfied within himself. Inner satisfaction is when we understand that we are the eternal soul, indestructible. Krishna tells in Gita, the soul cannot be cut into pieces by any weapon, cannot be disturbed by any weather conditions, whether it be massive rain or drought, winds, hurricanes, earthquakes, because the soul is not material. It's beyond the ever-changing material existence. And the ananda shakti, the nature of that soul, its real pleasure, is in remembrance of Krishna with love. So Prahlad had that experience. And this tormented Hiranyakashipu. Not only could he not kill Prahlad, He couldn't even make Prahlad angry at him. Yes, at least that would have been some success of Hiranyakashipu. After he threw Prahlad under stampeding elephants and in pits of snakes and in blazing fire and in the bottom of ocean and thrown from the tops of massive mountains, at least if Prahlad would have gotten angry and said, "Why did you do that to me?" Then Hiranyakashipu got some satisfaction that at least I got him mad, even though I couldn't kill him. But no matter what Hiranyakashipu did, Prahlad just smiled and offered his obeisances and said, "My dear father, please go to Vrindavan." He couldn't get that out of him. Prahlad was so helpless from a material perspective, but he loved Krishna. That's inner satisfaction. When we take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates. Vamanadeva, although he is Krishna himself, he's playing the role of a little boy. He's telling Balaram Maharaj, "You have conquered everything, but you are not satisfied because you haven't conquered your own mind and senses, but I have. All I need is three little steps." Pali Maharaj said, "You take your steps." Shukracharya, who was his guru, was very concerned. How would you like to have a disciple like Pali Maharaj, who has incredible resources, king of the universe, willing to give anything for his guru's mission? Shukracharya said, "He's Vishnu. He will cheat you of everything. Don't give him." And he gave him all kinds of scriptural excuses why to break his promise and not give him what he just said. But Bali Maharaj, he was a man of truth. He was a man of dharma, even though he was in a very inconceivable position. He was willing to get cursed by his guru for this higher purpose. And then little Vamanadeva, who was so small, whose footprints were so tiny, even though they pushed down the earth, the smallest became the biggest. His body expanded to cover the sky. Can you imagine seeing this with your own eyes? We can see by hearing. When we listen to these pastimes, we should enter into these pastimes. Just experience this as far as we can. That this little dwarf starts growing, growing, growing. You can't even see the top of his head anymore. It's going beyond the moon and the sun and everything. He was really big. And with one step, he covered half the universe. With the next step, he covered the other half of the universe. And there was no place to put his third step. Bali Maharaj was tied up because he no longer owned anything anymore. And his wife, Vindhyavali, and Prahlad, they all came to give him nice encouragement. And ultimately, he had already surrendered all of his property willingly to the Lord. All that was left was his life. And he offered Vamanadeva his life. "Please put your foot on top of my head," which means I offer you my very life, my soul, my everything. Atmanivedanam. He attained perfection through that offering. Bali Maharaj was performing this Aswamedha. The purpose of these yajnas is oftentimes to achieve a particular material purpose, but the concept of it is to humble ourselves before a higher power, to acknowledge that higher power. Otherwise, why Bali Maharaj is doing that? And even Ravana and Kamsa, they were the greatest asuras, but still, they performed tapasya, and they performed these types of yajnas because they understood that they were dependent on higher powers. But their problem was, when they gained the resources from these higher powers, they became so proud. They misused it. So Bali Maharaj was performing this yajna, and the real fulfillment of that yajna was coming in a way he was not expecting. Krishna tells in Gita that all sacrifices, yajyartat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandana, saha yajna prajat shrishta, that all yajnas are ultimately meant to make me happy. So Vamanadev personally appeared. He was performing a yajna to make an offering to the Lord, and the Lord appeared and took everything he had. His influence, his position, his property, and ultimately his life. In this sense, death is kind of like an ashwamedha yajna. The time of death, Krishna takes everything away. Our body, our family, our property, our life, everything. But unless we offer it with devotion, he doesn't take our soul to be his own, even though it is our own. He gives us the independence to think that we are separate. So in a similar way, death takes away everything, just like Vamanadeva took everything material away from Bali. But bhakti is to offer our life, in life and in death. Bali Maharaj, I am yours. That was all he had left. All he had left was his atma, his soul. Nothing else existed that he could call his own. Death is like that. Everything's taken away. All we have to do is that simple gesture like Bali Maharaj. Krishna, I am yours. This chanting of the holy names. Krishna is none different than his name. When we chant the holy name, we are in the presence of Krishna. Harinam yajna. Yajnai sankirtana prayai. In this age of Kali, the Ashwamedha yajna, who could actually perform that? The technicalities of an Ashwamedha yajna is very difficult. You have to have a horse, and the horse has to go to every part of the world. And wherever the horse goes, there's an army behind it. And if anybody does not surrender to you, there's a battle, and you have to defeat everyone. Then you can actually perform the yajna with that horse. Hare Krishna. Can we even find a horse that can go all over the world these days? So it's not possible. what to speak of anybody having such power and influence? What to speak of Brahmins who could chant all the mantras so precisely? But one gets the same result and more through the simple sacrifice that even a child can perform if they just have a sincere heart. And that's the sacrifice of chanting Krishna's holy names. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayai. In this age of Kali, the only truly recommended sacrifice is kirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names. And through this kirtan, if we, like Bali Maharaj, he was performing his yajna, and he surrendered his heart to Krishna, and Krishna accepted it. In life, in death, if we just offer our hearts to Krishna in his holy name, then we will also attain this ultimate perfection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has concluded the first verse of the Shikshastakam. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. That all glories to this Sankirtan movement, which is the prime benediction for all humanity. Everyone is looking for benediction, but such a simple benediction. What in Satya Yuga could only be attained by tens and thousands of years of totally focused meditation. In Treta Yuga, by performing such yajnas like Bali Maharaj is doing. In Dwarpa Yuga, by doing very perfect worship of the Lord. The same result can be achieved in Kali simply by chanting Krishna's holy names. And Krishna has many names. Nam Nam Akari Bahuta Nija Sarva Shaktish. This is the next phrase after Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. My dear Lord, you have many names. And in each and every one of them, you have invested your presence and all of your powers and potencies. But I have no attraction to these names. How unfortunate I am. So he's teaching us how the holy name can purify us and bring us to this Ananam Buddhivardhanam, to this highest level of what we're always looking for. And the glory of the holy name, because it has that power to do so. Then he humbles himself. But I have no attraction. The next verse, Trinada Bisunichi. In a very similar way, Bali Maharaj was performing his yajna. And he humbled himself before Vamanadev. So if we, in our japa, in our kirtan, in our sankirtanam, if we learn to chant the holy names and humble ourselves before the Supreme Absolute Truth who has appeared in this transcendental sound vibration, we also can attain perfection. Without all the elaborate ceremonious details of performing an Aswamedha Yajna, we could be sitting, laying down, paralyzed, crippled, the last stage of life, totally helpless. We have seen what happens at the time of death to some people. They can't perform Aswamedha Yajnas. They can't even stand up. They can hardly speak. But if we just, Krishna, Hare Krishna, with that spirit of Krishna, I'm yours, then we attain the ultimate perfection. We attain the spiritual world. We get everything and more from what Bali Maharaj achieved. That is the power of this yajna. And in the month of December, in the presence of Vishwambar Prabhu, Shri Radha Gokulanandan Prabhupada and all of you, the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, it is a, Prabhupada explained, it is Sankirtan. Because his books are the glorification of Krishna. Kirtan, Shukadev Goswami is the example of one who perfected his life through kirtan. And his kirtan was he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. So speaking about Krishna is also kirtan. Shukadev Goswami attained perfection by speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj attained perfection through Sravanam by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. By Srila Prabhupada's grace, he's giving Shukadev Goswami he's giving the words of Shukadev Goswami. He's giving the kirtan of Shukadev Goswami in these books. And he's allowing us to give them out to the world. It's the prime benediction for humanity at large. When they read these books, then they will be inspired to understand that the conclusion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, after reading through all the 12 cantos at the very end, that one can attain the ultimate perfection just by bowing with humility to the Lord and chanting his holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. How grateful we should be that we can be a part of this great sacrifice of spreading this glorious message for the pleasure of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.